Hello and welcome to Pumped, the inside podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Wogon, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, or from road biking to triathlon. And today I'm talking to Paul Bassagodia. For a long time, Paul was one of the best free riders in the world. Winning events like Crankworx brought him to the very top of the freeride world. In 2015, he crashed at the Red Bull Rampage, one of the hardest events in the freeride world. He injured his back with a spinal cord injury, which left him in the wheelchair. In the last years, he focused on his goal to get back on his feet and on the bike. During this really dark period of his life, he decided to do a documentary about all his rehab and all the things going on. In this episode, we're talking about spinal cord injuries, we're talking about his way back on the bike, and what he learned about himself. Hey Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to do the podcast with me. Where are you right now?
I'm in Scottsdale, Arizona. I ended up moving out here about 2 months ago. I wanted to escape the winters in Lake Tahoe. It was a super harsh winter. I wasn't able to ride, and I was like, man, I need to get out. And I've always wanted to escape the winters in Tahoe, and finally had the chance to do it this winter. So right now I'm located in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Nice. So that means you're living pretty much in the desert, and you can ride all year around.
Yeah, it doesn't snow here. The weather is perfect, especially during the winter. Unfortunately, summer is right around the corner. It gets a little too hot here. Mm-hmm. It gets up to like 120, 125 degrees. So I can see myself escaping this summer and maybe going to Southern California, or maybe back to Tahoe. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That sounds good. It's always super nice to be able to ride in the winter. I'm missing it this year a lot because I stayed in Germany the whole winter, and it was so cold. So you're really lucky.
Yeah. Very lucky. Very blessed. And I'm putting some miles on the bike. That's for sure.
That's great. So today it's Wednesday. How did you start your week?
How do I start my week? Well, actually, I was in LA this on Monday. I was down there for June Shine opened up their first storefront in Santa Monica. So I went down there, checked it out, hung out with a couple buddies, and came back on Tuesday, and just getting back to square one. Actually, I had to shoot some stuff yesterday for Canyon Bikes, and yeah, it's a busy week, and here I am now doing this podcast, and then got the rest of the week to work on my taxes.
Yeah, okay. So in 2015,
fun stuff.
Yeah, sounds like fun stuff. Yeah, really. In 2015 at Rampage, you had a really bad crash where you left your line just a hair, and you crashed on your back, and you suffered a back injury which put you in a wheelchair. And there's a documentary about it, Any One of Us, which I really recommend to everyone. And it's available in German in the ZDF Mediathek. So for everyone who listened to this podcast is from Germany, it's available, and it's amazing. I really like this documentary. And the impressive thing about this documentary is that there is so much footage about the whole rehab. When did you decide to cover the full rehab on video?
Right when I got out of ICU, I knew that I was going to be in the hospital for 3 months, and I was like, I gotta kill some time. Like, 3 months is going to be such a long time being stuck in this hospital. And literally a week before I got hurt, I bought a brand new camera, and here I am in my hospital bed looking at the popcorn ceiling, like just lost, confused, just trying to figure out what I was going to do to kill time. And I looked over at the table and I saw my brand new camera, And I was like, oh, this is no better time to learn how to operate this thing. So next thing you know, I hit the record button and I started to record my day-to-day life. And, you know, everything that went into a spinal cord injury, I was so blind, so confused, so lost of what actually went into this injury. When you hear that somebody sustained a spinal cord injury, the only thing you really think of is like, oh, that you can't move and you can't feel, but there's so many more other complications that go into this injury. And right then I knew it was important to document my day-to-day situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's really great that you sharing all your emotion and all the things you went through. What motivates you to do this documentary or make this documentary?
Well, at first it was just for me to like see my progress in this recovery. Because you know, when you live with a spinal cord injury, it's super hard to kind of figure out how you're progressing and what's really going on. So for me, I wanted to document my day-to-day situation to see my progression. But about a month into it, I knew this is way bigger than just documenting my situation. I come to find out there was no education, really guidance that went into spinal cord injury. So right then I was like, I need to tell this story, because unfortunately I'm not going to be the last person that's going to sustain a spinal cord injury. Mm-hmm. And I know this can be a guidance for someone, and I know that it can help someone that's going to go through a really, really bad time in their life. And right then I was like, I need to make this film for others, because it's a scary situation. It was the scariest thing I've ever gone through. It was my biggest nightmare. And I just knew right then that I had to tell the story, because it was going to help so many people and give so many people hope to charge and to recover and try to put those hours in and try to have that right mindset to beat this injury.
Yeah. What I really like about this documentary is that it's not just about you. It's about so many other people who got injured while doing sport, or yeah, so it really can happen to any one of us. And I really like that aspect, that it's not just you. So if I'm not wrong,
I love that we brought the other cast members involved with the film. When you think of my situation, you're like, oh well, it was kind of bound for Paul to sustain a spinal cord injury. This kid, you know, was doing backflips on mountain bikes. He was riding the Red Bull Rampage. The kid was crazy. Like, of course this was bound to happen to Paul. But unfortunately, the number one cause of spinal cord injuries is actually car accidents, and the number two is swimming accident, pool diving. Mm-hmm. So we thought it was really important to kind of tell that aspect and that story, as far as like, hey, listen, this injury can happen to any one of us. In fact, it is us, and it happens to your average Joe. There's so many people that are, you know, getting car accidents that sustain spinal cord injuries, people that slip on black ice, or people fall down a set of stairs and they break their neck. So we wanted to, you know, kind of tell that story that, hey, look, life is very precious, and it's not guaranteed, and this injury can happen to any one of us, regardless what you're doing in life.
Yeah, and because of that, it's not just a mountain bike injury. It's bigger. And if I'm not wrong, you won the Sports Emmy for that movie. Did that open doors for the film to show it to a bigger audience?
Yeah, I mean, what a crazy roller coaster that was. Like, to think of, you know, when I started documenting my day-to-day situation by myself at the hospital, to having Red Bull coming on board, funding the whole project, becoming the most successful film that Rebel's ever done, linking up the first HBO deal that they ever had, to HBO picking it up, putting it on their platform, to getting nominated for 2 Sports Emmys, and then ended up winning one, like, pretty surreal. And yeah, it just opened up. It opened up a lot of different doors, but also kind of brought so much like different like demographic into like mountain biking too, or like into this injury. Like, you know, still today it's so weird. Like, you know, I used to get messaged all the time about how to get sponsor or how to do this bike trick. But now it's like, hey, how do I beat this injury? Or, hey, I've seen your documentary, Any One of Us. You inspired me. Like, thank you so much for doing that. Like, it's so crazy, like, how, like, my life is kind of, like, wrapped around as far as, like, you know, I was a big influence in the bike world. But now, like,
yeah,
I think I have a more of a bigger influence in, like, the spinal cord injury or anybody that's trying to overcome some type of adversity in life.
Yeah. The impressive thing is how you fought back to get your way back on your feet and you chasing your goals. What made you not give up?
Right in the early days, I knew that I had two situations to go about this. It was either to get addicted to pain pills, give up and be depressed and live that lifestyle, or hey, maybe I can beat this injury. Maybe I have that motivation, drive, and maybe I'm gonna put the same energy and same work ethic that I did in mountain biking into this injury. And that's what I did. I literally took this injury and made it my job. Mm-hmm. I woke up every day, I worked out, ate good, tried everything to beat this injury, and it really consumed my life for 4 years. And still today, it still consumes my life. Like, I wake up, I still work out an hour and a half, I ride, I eat healthy, and I'm still trying to progress, you know? Like, I still have a lot of paralysis on my right side. I still have no movement below the knees. And every day, I still want to get better. And it's just, I think it's one of those situations that, you know, until the day I'm able to, like, walk long distance without a cane or something, I'm not going to be satisfied. And it's something that keeps me busy and keeps me motivated to keep trying and keep working. And I'm not going to give up until I'm happy where I'm at with this injury. And yeah, and whether that's me walking long distance without a cane, like, I think the days of me ever running again are probably over, or like me doing like a jumping jack. But like, as long as I can just, you know, get to my studio, to my car without a cane or needing any assistance, like going through the airports, I'm going to be a happy guy and I'm going to work towards those goals. And, you know, I won't give up until that day happens.
Yeah. Yeah. When you first time talked to your doctor, what was a percentage that you could walk again or even ride your bike again? What did they tell you or told you?
Well, I think biking was totally out of the picture. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody thought I would ever be back on the bike. But as far as like regaining any sensation or movement below the waist, it was like 5%. Like, I wasn't supposed to ever move a limb below my waist. And for me to walk, like, that wasn't even in the conversation. It was about like, oh, maybe you're able to move your left leg, or maybe y'all have like enough strength to maybe stand up. But it was never like a conversation as far as like, oh, you're going to be walking with a cane, or you're going to be able to ride a bike again. Like, that wasn't even an option.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible when you telling that going back on the bike was not really an option. And then there is a scene in the documentary where you sitting in the back of your truck with Cam Zink and talking about it would be great to ride again. And you tell him that day will come. And you tell it without a question. Did you know that you were back on the bike any day?
At that point, when I was having that conversation with Cam, I was pedaling a stationary bike at the gym. So I was like, I just remember pedaling a stationary bike, looking outside, watching other people ride their road bikes or mountain bikes on the streets. And I was like, I'm gonna be able to do that. You know, here I'm pedaling the stationary bike. I don't have the strength to really balance the bike quite yet, but eventually that day will come. And all I needed to really like know was that I was able to actually have enough strength to pedal the stationary bike. And once I was able to do that for a few months, I felt comfortable actually jumping on a mountain bike and going out for a ride.
Yeah. As you already told us, you had pretty much two careers in your life. The career before your accident, where you're on top of the freeride world, winning crankworks, winning all that stuff and doing all these crazy tricks, and motivating people to go to their limits. And now you have the second career after the crash where you motivate people to go beyond their limit. Would the second part even be possible without the first part?
That's a very good question. I never even thought about that. And to throw a quick answer at you, I would say you're right. None of that would have been possible if it wasn't what I did for mountain biking in the early stages, right? I literally put my life on the line, and I've done so much. I feel like in the free ride side of things, especially, you know, coming into Crankworks without a sponsor, winning that whole event, going back next year, winning that event again, winning the Red Bull District ride, doing the first 720 on a mountain bike. Like, I think I've done a lot in the free ride side of things that kind of stamped my name in this industry for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And to have this second career come about, none of it would have happened if it wasn't for what I did in the early stages of mountain biking. But I think most importantly, if I didn't do this documentary, I think that's the main question. If I didn't do this documentary, would I have the second career as well, right? This documentary was so massive and it did so well. Like, it brought so much attention to the biking world, especially mm-hmm. the e-bike side of things. Like, yeah. this film touched so many people's lives, and there's so many people that are watching mountain biking now because of the documentary. Any one of us, like, mountain biking has never been on HBO, and here's a sports Emmy award winning film on the platform, and definitely drew a lot of people to the sport.
Yeah. So before your injury, you were on really the top level, and I mean, on this level, you're not just this crazy guy. You're super hard on training, you're super focused on doing all these tricks, and did that help you to go through that injury, that you know how to make the impossible possible?
I think it did. I think having that same work ethic that I had in biking and bringing it over to this injury definitely helped. Mm-hmm. I was so bummed, so like upset that I didn't do well at Rampage. You know, I'm so upset that whole situation happened. It was literally like the year that I was supposed to like get a top three podium finish, and I think mm-hmm. I could have won that event that year.
Yeah.
I felt so confident. I felt so like really good on the bike. And for that to happen to me, it was such like, I don't even know how to explain it. It was such like a depressing feeling. Like here you are going into an event, you have the best line that you ever had at Rampage, you're doing everything perfectly fine, you make one little mistake, you end up breaking your back and becoming paralyzed. Like that, like I'm still tortured by that day. Like I still mm-hmm. like it's still hard for me to overcome what happened. But I took all that energy, I took all that negative like energy and brought it into my recovery, saying, okay, this is my new Rampage. This is mm-hmm. this is the same work ethic that I had for mountain biking that I'm gonna put into this recovery. And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. And it's great. To be able to focus on the goal that much, it's incredible. The last picture of the movie is where you ride your bike the first time, and it was just on the street, just downhill. And when we follow you now on Instagram, you can see that you're really good on a bike again, and you're jumping and you're doing tricks. What is your current bike life like?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm doing any tricks, but I'm definitely catching some air. from the very first day being able to pedal a bike to now, like, yeah, I've progressed so much. It's kind of crazy. I'm actually progressing a lot more on the bike than I am with my walking. Mm-hmm. And today I'm riding an e-bike. I just got sponsored by Canyon Bikes, so I'm riding the Canyon Spectral on, and I'm loving the bike. I'm having so much fun, and if it wasn't for this technology, like, who knows where I'd be at as far as, like, on the bike and what access where I'd be able to go to as far as, like, riding trails and stuff. So yeah. I'm very blessed that this technology is out. It's given me a second chance in life, and it's given me the opportunity to still be in the industry. And, hey, like I said, like, it's so crazy how many people are so interested in e-bikes now, and because they hear my story. And it's not people that have spinal cord injuries. It's people that are, like, old. Some people reach out to me that are old, out of shape, or, you know, had a crazy injury, but they're always afraid to get back on the bike. And then they see my story and they see how much fun I'm having on this bike, that it's inspiring a lot of people to get back on the bikes. And they're going straight towards the e-bikes because this technology is so much fun, and it's giving, like, people that have some type of challenges in life a second chance.
Yeah, it's bringing so much people back to mountain biking and back to a little bit more healthy life. How often do you go riding now these days?
I would say four times a week.
Okay. Oh, that's a lot.
I would ride every single day, but, like, my back gets super sore. It depends what I'm, like, riding. If I'm riding something that's, like, a little chattery, rocks, like, I have to take a day off. If I'm going out for, like, a little casual single track ride, then I can ride the next day. But usually I have to ride, take a day off, ride, take a day off. Mm-hmm. Just because my back gets super tight, my legs get really fatigued, and I'm still not at that strength to be able to ride 7 days a week.
Yeah. As you already said, you're still working out every day, and you have done it a lot in the rehab for years. Could you continue working out during the corona pandemic when everything was closed and you're not able to go to the gym?
So I was very blessed, and I actually have a gym at my house.
Okay.
So that the whole corona, the whole pandemic did not affect me whatsoever as far as recovery. In fact, actually, when I was still in the hospital, I ordered all this gym equipment to get shipped to my house because I knew that this was going to be a lifetime journey. Mm-hmm. So I bought a lot of gym equipment and got it shipped to my house. So I have a personal gym at the house. So okay. It didn't affect me anyway, thank God.
Yeah. So you're pretty lucky. But do you know about some problems from people who got injured later and are still in this hard way to get back on their feet and now have problems to train and to get the rehab due to corona? Or is normally everything working like they can train every day and it's it doesn't affect the people?
Yeah, in the early days, I know a lot of people were getting affected about you know, being able to go to the gym because all the gyms were closed. I actually had a couple of other buddies that sustained spinal cord injuries that would actually come to my house and work out and use my equipment because the PT centers mm-hmm. were all shut down, the local gyms were shut down. So I have a couple of buddies that sustained spinal cord injuries after I did, and they would come over and use my equipment and we would work out together. So it did affect a lot of people with this whole shutdown.
Yeah. In the documentary, you say that you want your everyday life back. How much everyday life you have now? So, like, the normal boring things in life which you couldn't do when you got injured.
Yeah, it's I would say I'm my life is a little crazy right now just with this change, you know, moving to Scottsdale. But as far as, like, day-to-day stuff, I think I'm pretty satisfied where I'm at, and I think I have everything that I really need. You know, there's a couple of things that I'm missing right now in life, but other than that, I think I'm pretty happy. I think I'm good. I'm very blessed. You know, I still struggle walking long distance and stuff, but end of the day, it was so bad where I was at. Like, I was in a very, very dark space. I was in a very unhealthy place. Mm-hmm. And for me to be able to ride a bike again and be able to like pee again and do these little things in life that we take for granted, I'm so blessed to be able to do all that again.
Mm-hmm. And what is this one thing you would pick out when I ask you, what do you learn about yourself over all the time?
What I've learned about myself? Mm-hmm. I'm a tough motherfucker. I've gone through some shit in life. not to be so blunt, but like, man, I've had some curveballs thrown at me in life. Like I've had some stuff thrown at me that I was like, no way I can overcome this, or no way can I face this. And looking back at all the struggles and all the adversity in life that I had to overcome, like looking back, I'm like, I have no idea how I did that.
Mm-hmm. And
but you know what? But to answer that question, I kind of do know how I did that. I had such a good support system through like the mountain bike community, family, friends. Like I had a wolf pack of people behind me, wanting me to succeed, wanting me to mm-hmm. beat this injury, wanting me to like be happy. Like if it wasn't for the support system, I don't think I would be able to be where I'm at today. You know, like. It takes a very, very strong individual to overcome a spinal cord injury and everything that goes into it.
Mm-hmm. And now being back on the bike, being back in the mountain bike industry, what do you want to achieve on the bike or in the industry?
Oh, for me, you know, my job title is I'm an e-bike ambassador. I just want to get people back on the bikes regardless of the situation, get stoked on riding, experience the joy of being on two wheels. And that's my main goal. That's my main passion. I know that, you know, the day of me trying to be the best bike athlete, those days are so long gone. And mm-hmm. for me now, it's just like to go out on the trails, have these conversations, go out and ride and enjoy life and be able to do the stuff that was taken away from me at one point. Like every day I go ride, like there's not a day that I don't ride without a smile, and I just know that it's a blessing and I don't take it for granted, that's for sure.
Great. So Paul, thank you very much for your time and for the podcast. Again, I really everyone should watch the documentary. I really recommend it. It's amazing video, and it's so inspiring. So thanks a lot to putting that together, and I wish you all the best for 2021 and beyond. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate everything you guys have done. So hopefully I see you guys on the trails. Until next time, signing out.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
See ya.